Well, he's headed his first party room meeting since the election, and he's nutting out a new coalition agreement with the Prime Minister. But today, Barnaby Joyce is making front page news about greyhounds.
I try to stay away from banning anything. If you ban things, I think you've got to be careful. You start hurting people that you didn't expect to hurt. It's best to try and work with the industry and get them to sort of sort out their problems. You know, I haven't read the report, and to be quite frank, I don't intend to read the report, but what I do is I know a lot of people own greyhounds, and they seem like decent people.
Barnaby Joyce is the leader of the National Party and Deputy Prime Minister. Welcome to RM Breakfast.
Strange, Patricia, how are you?
Very strange to be talking to you this early in the morning. Usually it's at night time, but I think I can manage this.
Upside down.
How can you reject a ban on greyhound racing when you won't even look at the evidence? And it's damning evidence.
Well, any person can come up with a report, Patricia. And, you know, obviously the damning evidence has to be seen in the light of the actual evidence on the ground. If you meet people who own greyhounds, you don't see, a whole retinue of evil, malicious, nasty people. You just see generally mum and dads who own and race dogs. And so what I said yesterday was not new. I've said that prior to this. It's been put past me in the Department of Agriculture to ban it. And I said no at a federal level then, so I was more repeating what I've already said.
Your coalition colleagues have said they changed their mind on the industry once they heard just how bad it was, that tens of thousands of dogs killed over the past 12 years, the doping, the live baiting. Given all of the evidence and your resistance to that, I mean, you're saying that you think it's okay, that it's an important industry. What will you do at a federal level to try and intervene?
It's state legislation. So, I mean, the states can I suppose, do as they please. And that's the wonderful thing we live. That's how our Commonwealth works. But I am always very reticent. And the solution to anything is to ban it. As the Minister for Agriculture, my natural inclination is to say, no, we don't just ban things, we fix things.
You know you're clashing with your Nationals colleagues on this. The New South Wales Deputy Premier, Troy Grant, has questioned you directly, asking, can you honestly defend an industry that has failed to end live baiting for over 60 years and yet again wants another chance? He says he's given them a chance. I've spoken to him as well. He says he's given them a chance. They refuse to change.
Well, obviously, if they break the law, that's what you've got police for, isn't it?
But it's still going on.
Well, it's like saying if someone breaks the law, I mean, that's what you have police for. They get charged.
So you think there's been inadequate policing?
They get a criminal conviction. I mean, I can't make it clearer than that. If someone breaks the law, you can't blame the whole industry. You blame the criminal.
How would you reduce the numbers of greyhounds killed if dogs inherently have litters of certain sizes and only the very fastest will be kept for racing? You can't adopt out all of the slower dogs. What's the solution?
What are you going to do to the dogs now?
What's the solution, though?
Well, what's the solution now? If you ban the industry, what are you going to do to the dogs now? Just let them go in the park.
Well, what you say is, okay, it's a state issue, they're going to deal with it, but I'm opposed. Do you think that all of those people in the greyhound industry who are no doubt very happy to hear you saying this would feel frustrated that you're not prepared to perhaps look at ways that you could help them? I mean, statements are one thing, but actually intervening or finding a way to help that industry is another.
Well, I've already been asked at the federal level, and we went through the whole greyhound passport issue to try and get a sort of a greater regulatory process. I'm happy to assist in what I can do at that level, but the authority for this resides with the states. I've been asked in the past, in fact, I was asked I think nearly 6 months ago about my thoughts on banning the industry or to work towards banning the industry, and I said explicitly then no. I'm merely repeating my views that I already hold. I don't, and the Department of Agriculture, believe that you ban industries, so you make sure they work. I think you're on a slippery slope once you start banning things because, of course, people will draw parallels to other industries that they also think should be banned, and they'll use your arguments from why you banned one to why you should ban the next, and it's good luck with that.
We heard, if I can just change the topic, we heard Malcolm Turnbull confirm yesterday the Nationals will get an extra two ministers. How powerful are the Nationals going to be over the next 3 years?
Oh, well, it's not a case of, being powerful. It's a case of having effect and looking after the people you represent. And, I want to make sure that we do that. the reality is it's not about our egos, it's about the people we look after and making sure that we get ourselves in a position to deliver the best outcome for them. It's not some sort of real-life Game of Thrones or West Wing or some other rubbish like that. It's making sure that you do the very best to look after the people who sent you to Canberra, whatever way that takes, and clearly understand what the issues are that they're concerned about and get yourself in a position to try and deal with them.
What portfolios do you want?
Well, I'm not going to announce that on radio, am I?
Yes, you might.
Well, I could, but I'm not going to. Thank
you, could.
Patricia.
You could give it a go.
I could certainly give it a go, Patricia, but I'm not going to.
Okay, I'll give you one example, something I've always been very interested in, Indigenous Affairs. Nigel Scullion holds that portfolio effectively for the Nationals for you. He's been re-elected Senate Leader for the Nationals. Would you like him to keep that portfolio? Has he expressed interest in keeping that portfolio, or might that change?
Well, as by reason of office, he has a strong say in what he does, and as the elected member of the Nats in the Senate, he has a strong say in what he wishes to do.
Can you give me an indication? As I say, it's a very important portfolio, most impoverished people in this country. Is he likely to keep that portfolio?
Well,
does he want to keep it?
I think he's doing a good job. That's about as far as I'm going to go with that. But I mean, why? Because otherwise we're going to go through every portfolio, aren't we? We're going to rule in and rule out to what position.
But you think he's doing a good job? Do you think continuity in that portfolio would be important?
I really respect your capacity to interrogate the issue, but I'm not going to start ruling in or ruling out.
Okay. Are you open to giving up the agriculture portfolio?
Excuse me. If I thought that was the best thing, sure.
How could you be convinced that might be the best thing to do? I'm interested in what you just said there.
Whatever's best for the people you represent. That's basically it. It's not about us. It's not about any respective minister. It's not about any person's their own sort of views. It's about what is it the people want, and what is the position you can hold that best represents that and delivers for that.
Which, of course, goes to this issue of secrecy in the coalition agreement, which has been pretty hot issue this week, quite controversial. Don't you want to tell the world what's in this agreement, to boast about, what you're getting for your constituents?
Every person has sections which, of course, to work, it has to be confidential. I mean, you have sources in the media, don't you? I mean, you have people that you ring up and they tell you things off the record. That is correct, isn't it?
Yeah, that's correct. Yeah, sure.
Okay. Why don't you disclose them? It's in the nation's interest for you to disclose them.
It's very different. I'm not an elected. You're the Deputy Prime Minister, Barnaby Joyce. You and I are not the same.
You're talking to elected people. Surely the people that listen to your program have a right to know who said what.
So you're really comparing journalist sources to a confidential agreement between two coalition governing partners.
And if you go through the parties, even the Labor Party, they're holier than thou, even though they just ran an election on a blatant lie that will privatise Medicare, and then for them to jump on a pulpit and say, even though we premised our whole election campaign on a lie, repeating it over and over again, we are now going to sort of moralise about what happens, yet they themselves have agreements between the left and the right, factional agreements, no one ever gets to see them.
Sure, but the agreement they had with the Greens when they were in minority government was well known. We all
and
saw
the Green,
it.
The Greens don't even let people into their conference.
But that's a different issue. We saw that agreement, is what I'm saying.
These are the same issues.
They don't
disclose their factional agreements. The Greens don't allow you into their conferences. And the vast majority of the coalition agreement you're going to see in the bold light of day once they announce the ministry.
If you're just tuning into RM Breakfast, I'm Patricia Carvelis and my guest is the Deputy Prime Minister, Barnaby Joyce. Is it a sure thing that Matt Canavan will get a seat at the Cabinet table?
Well, that would be a sure way of starting ruling things in and ruling things out. So
okay.
I don't do that.
Well, what would you like to tell us about Matt Canavan, the public
He's
who don't know about him?
Tall, about 6 foot. Six foot
I don't need
two.
A physical description. Is he very talented? Is he capable of being in Cabinet?
Very talented, and he's got the brain. He's incredibly smart. I think he's doing a great job with Northern Australia at the moment. I think that he's very ardent and articulate in his role in Senate inquiries, and he plays touch football on Tuesday mornings.
Okay, it's good to know. I spoke with Erica Betts earlier. There's clearly very strong unrest in coalition ranks about superannuation. The Prime Minister yesterday said, we're going to keep this policy. This is our policy. We have a mandate. Erica Betts says you don't. Kevin Andrews says last night on the Bolt Report that you don't. clearly there is a lot of uncertainty around this policy. Many people want it to shift. Do you anticipate that it will change?
Well, I'm always of the view that if you take something to an election and you get elected, that that's the policy.
But he says you've just been, you know, kicked up the butt. I think he said something to that effect. And that therefore you don't have effectively a mandate because you were punished so much.
Look, ultimately you go to an election in any government, you're going to have hard decisions to make. We would never have to make any of these decisions if we weren't left hundreds of billions of dollars in debt by the Green Labor Party Independent Alliance. And of course, if anything comes down to money, then you've got to somehow find the money. Now we've had everybody wanting things for NDIS. They want the safety net in medical costs maintained. They want pensions maintained. All rightly so. But somewhere you have to find the money. This is not magic.
But if they can find the money somewhere else,
you're going to make decisions that are unpopular. Now the solution to the decision is actually in the past. If Mr. Rudd et al. Hadn't been giving out $900 checks and just basically blowing money left, right and centre and leaving us hundreds of billions of dollars in debt, we wouldn't have to make these decisions.
Okay, but if they can change the policy and save you the same amount of money, would you accept that?
Well, all this process has been gone through. It's been through the Expenditure Review Committee. Then you go to an election. If the people really don't like it, they kick you out, and that's it. I mean, ultimately, it's being in government is a tough thing. You're going to make tough decisions, and some of them are unpopular. But if you run away from them and say the solution to every problem we've got is to borrow more money off the Chinese government or more money through London and just get ourselves further and further and further into debt, if that's the solution, then it's going to be a very short-term solution because ultimately something will go snap, and that will be the last year of the ABC because we have no money for it. That'll be the last year of our capacity to basically fund public hospitals because we'll have no money for it. We won't have the money to fund schools or the defence, and people don't accept that. So you're going to have to make the hard decisions now to avoid that in the future.
Barnaby Joyce, many thanks for joining me this morning.
You're welcome.
And that's the Deputy Prime Minister, Barnaby Joyce, there. It's 18 minutes past 8. You're listening to RN Breakfast.